Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have no idea what the choir is going to sing. This is a new song, isn't it? Is that right? And I had no idea what it was. But if you'll remember, this morning I mentioned that the Lord had changed my message for tonight. And I was going to preach on the subject of the Holy Spirit again. And I just felt that I needed to change and to speak about the coming of the Lord. Aren't you glad the way the Lord orchestrates these things? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I believe he's speaking to us tonight. I believe he's speaking to us. Thank you, choir, for that encouragement through song tonight. If you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. I know you just got seated, but if you could stand for the reading of God's Word. Important words of our Savior. I appreciated Sister Rebecca's testimony, introduction of the song. I think we need to have that kind of consideration of His coming, about where we will be at that split second of His coming, whether we'll be going back or left. I thought that was thought and heart provoking. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves likened to men that wait for their Lord. Notice the certainty of this, when he will return from the wedding. Jesus is speaking through a parable, but he says he will return. That when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. They don't have to make any preparation, you know, scurrying around behind the doors, getting things set and in order. They can open immediately because everything's ready. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, notice the certainty again, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And my message is going to be in Jesus' interpretation of the parable. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Here it is. But, and if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come at a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Verse 45 again. But and if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. My Lord delayeth his coming. I'm going to preach just one thought from all this. So there's so much here. I'm not going to deal with the theology of his coming. I'm not going to deal with any of that. Just this one thought, and I want to leave it with you tonight. I want to preach tonight that Christ's coming is an attitude changer. His coming is an attitude changer. You might in this season hear the term game changer. But I want you to know Christ's coming is an attitude changer. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I was disturbed this week. I was talking, there's so much distance here, and I wouldn't begin to share if anybody had any idea of whom I was speaking about. No one will. But it was just in the context of the way the church world has become in these United States. And the person I was talking to related to me two different things. First of all, about a Christian woman who went on a cruise, supposed to be with other Christian ladies. And she became very disturbed because every day those Christian ladies would avail themselves to the liquor on the cruise and drink till they got giddy and acted silly. And she said, "You're supposed to be Christians. How can you be drinking and acting like this?" And they responded and said, "Well, listen, lighten up. You can be a Christian and still drink and have a good, happy time." And even though it's along the same subject, he was talking about how a young man he knew observed the youth pastor of another Pentecostal church. He was there. He observed him, the youth pastor, Pentecostal church, stopping at the convenience store, getting whatever they get, six-pack, going back to the place where everyone was gathered together, getting so drunk that he threw up, a youth pastor of a Pentecostal church. Now, I want you to know, those ladies on the cruise or that youth pastor, one thing is for sure. If they were Christians, if they really believed Jesus was coming again, they would not have been acting like that. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe if they really believe Jesus was coming again, they'd never tip that bottle up? How many believes that? You see, it's an attitude changer. Amen. Christians can argue you can do this and that and still be a Christian. But one thing is for sure, if they really believed Jesus was coming again, they wouldn't be doing that, this, and that, that they're arguing that it's okay. Amen? Amen. So many things are happening that were preached as things when I was young that would accompany the end of the world. We're seeing them. You're reading about them in the newspaper. It's not my goal to go into that tonight, but wars and rumors of war and armies gathering in the Middle East. And they used to prophecy, preachers used to talk about Russia coming to the Middle East and China. We got all that there. And I don't know how all of that plays out. And I don't know how that all correlates with Bible prophecy. But one thing I do know, we have reason more than at any other time to expect that Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. But in spite of all those other reasons, Brother Cruz, we need no other reason to believe that Jesus is going to come back other than the reason he said he would. He said he was coming again. That's reason enough to expect his coming. And look in verse 43, it said, "Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." This is a servant that expects his Lord to return as his Lord has told him he would do. Expecting his Lord to return, he does everything to make sure he's doing everything that he should be doing. He's doing his duties. He's busy. He's careful. If you watch that servant around the house, you wouldn't see him lounging around. You wouldn't see him goofing off. He's here. He's there. He's got things in his hands. He's washing this. He's straightening up that. He's doing all these things. Why? He fervently believes his Lord when his Lord told him that he was soon to return. And so he's doing everything possible to be ready. He has an expectancy of his Lord's return. And he does those things that he knows pleases the master. He does those things with a sense of urgency and passion and enthusiasm in his work. Why? Because he does them with an attitude. My Lord is returning. And that attitude affects everything he does and how he does it. But in verse 45, it says, "But and if that servant shall say in his heart," that servant, I want you to notice that servant, which servant? The servant that had been believing his Lord was returning, that servant that had the right attitude, that servant that had been doing everything to please his master, that servant that had been making every preparation he could make sake. But if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Amen. Amen. Just suppose that this happened right before the Lord returned. That servant had been doing right. That servant had been occupied with the right things. But right before his Lord returned, he began to think to himself, well, I don't know if I believe that anyway. I don't really believe the Lord's going to return soon. It could be a long time from now. But what I want you to notice, as soon as he developed the attitude that his Lord might not be returning soon, as soon as he got that attitude, as soon as he lost his expectancy, it immediately changed everything about him. It changed his outlook. It changed his attitude. It changed his actions. It changed the way he treated others. What happened? Only one thing. He quit expecting the Lord to return. And that lack of expectation changed everything about him. The Christ coming, whether we believe it or not, is an attitude changer. Now look at that attitude. Look at that servant in his attitude. Look at him around the house. He's not scurrying around taking care of things. He's piled up in a chair being lazy. Even there's things that need to be done. They're not getting done. There's things he knows pleases the master, but he's not doing those. Why? Because he has begun to believe that his Lord is not returning soon. He quits being careful. He quits fulfilling the duties. He becomes another person. The Bible says he begins to beat his men servants and maidens. I'm not preaching tonight. If you quit expecting the Lord to come, you're going to start beating your spouse or your children. Amen. But what it's saying here, amen, he begins to ill-treat others. You know how you can tell when people quit expecting the Lord to come? They start not treating other people right. They don't treat their peers right. They don't treat their family right. They don't treat their leaders right. They don't treat folks right. That's what this servant did. Number one, he began to ill-treat others. Number two, he began to indulge his old carnal, fleshly nature. He began to eat and drink and to be drunken. Amen. What happened? Only one thing changed. His expectancy of the Lord's return. When he lost the expectancy, he developed an attitude. I can treat others the way I want to treat them. I can do what I want to do. I can indulge with what I want to indulge with. That's why I said in the opening illustration, those ladies were claiming to be Christian and that drinking is okay, but they fit right here. They have quit expecting the Lord to come. That's why they're eating and drinking and being drunken. I'm telling you, you lose that expectation. It'll change your attitude in living. It'll change your attitude in worship. It'll change your attitude about church. It'll change your attitude about preaching. It'll change your attitude about the people of God. It'll change your attitude about the man of God when you lose that expectation. That's what happened to this servant. Believing Jesus is coming soon, it'll also drastically affect my attitude and everything I do. To begin to believe that Jesus isn't coming soon will have that drastic change I'm talking about. And so I want to ask the question, can we not tell by our present attitude towards life? Can we not tell by our present attitude about what pleases God? Can we not tell about our present attitude about this book? Can we not tell by our present attitude about worship and prayer whether or not we are living with an expectancy of the Lord's return? How many will just admit with me, amen, to believe he's coming again has a tremendous effect on our attitude towards all of those things. When I believe he's coming again, it puts something into my worship. When I believe he's coming again, it puts a fervency in my prayer. When I believe he's coming again, it puts something into my digging into this book. When I believe he's coming again, it even makes me listen to the preaching differently. I'm telling you, but the moment I begin to think he's not coming again, it'll change my attitude. Amen. I'll develop an attitude. I'll get surly. I'll get rebellious. I'll get carnal. I'll get careless. Amen. It's not a time for that. It's not a time to start saying, well, maybe the Lord Lord's delaying is coming. It's time to say it could be even quicker than we've ever believed. It could be sooner than we ever expected. And I'm telling you, with that, there'll be a change of attitude of heart. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Now here's the frightening thing. Here's the frightening thing. I've already said it, but I'm going to summarize it. This servant at one time had been ready for his Lord's return. If the Lord had have come just a few days earlier, this servant, he would have been ready. Right? This isn't like somebody that's never been saved and either doesn't believe that the Lord's coming soon or never did believe the Lord was coming again. This is somebody that at one time really believed it. And not only had he believed it, he had been ready. If this Lord had returned sooner, he would have been ready. But when he began to think to himself, well, he didn't come yesterday, so he's not going to come today. When he began to think like that, he came, he had an attitude change, he had a heart change, and he was no longer ready for the return of his Lord. This tells us it will be those who were one time ready and would have one time been ready. Amen. If Jesus had only come sooner, it lets us know that many of them have just such an attitude change in their life. They're no longer ready. Amen. You can tell it by everything they believe, every way they are living. Oh, but if we have that expectancy, it'll drive us, amen, it'll drive us to stay away from the world. How many believes that? You can tell when someone's expecting the Lord to come. They're trying to get away from the world, not try to work their way back into it. Amen. If we have this expectancy, it'll be a drive in us to live pure. Amen. I know there's lots of things we could discuss. I know we're not going to have all the same opinions, but it always bothers me when Christians begin to argue and want to justify any and everything. When you consider that, whatever that issue is, when you consider it in the light that this could be the day, this could be the end of our race, this could be the day the trumpet sound, all of a sudden that changes the argument. I said that changes the argument. I'm not just trying to find a loophole. I'm not just trying to find a way to tolerate what I'm looking for a way to be pleased in the Master. When he comes, he'll find me watching. When he comes, he'll find me doing. When he comes, he'll find me pleasing him. Amen. If we have that expectancy, it'll drive us to hear and to read this word. You show me someone that's believing Jesus is coming, I'll show you somebody that's in the book. They want to know more about it. Oh, hallelujah. I said they want to know more about it. Glory to God. I'm glad Jesus didn't get down to the details like the prophecy preachers do. They want to talk about all the nitty-gritty thing. Jesus just said, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's all I need to know. Other things are interesting. The Antichrist, that's interesting to know about that. Daniel's beast, it's interesting to know about that. What army's going to come to the Middle East? It's interesting to know about that. But there's only one thing I know. Be also ready. Be also ready. Don't have that change of attitude. Don't start thinking because he didn't come 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago that he's not coming. Keep an expectancy. I said keep an expectancy. I'm looking, and when he comes, I'll be working. I'll be working. I'll be praying. I'll be worshiping. I'll be reading the word. Hallelujah. When we have that expectancy, it puts a drive in our hearts to tell others about Jesus. Even I hadn't planned on sharing this, and maybe I shouldn't take the time. I've shared different versions. But I remember 1979, amen, when I prayed through, got called to preach, amen, I was consumed with the idea that Jesus was coming. I remember looking up from my drafting table out the window, amen, towards the east, honestly expecting the Lord to break through the clouds. And with that, there came an urgency in my heart. I began to carry my Bible, amen, to public school and talk talk to the kids about Jesus coming. Even my classmate, Jesus, I'm telling you, it'll work that way. You find a servant that believes his Lord's returning. He'll be working. He'll be praying. He'll look around and say, I want them to go too. I want them to be ready too. I don't want them to be left out. I want my family to be ready. Not only do I want to be ready, I want my spouse to be ready, my children to be ready, my friends to be ready. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody here believe Jesus is coming again? Let's look at that verse one more time. That servant shall say in his heart, that's where it starts. He never stood up in church and testified and said, well, folks, I don't believe Jesus is coming soon anymore. He never made a public declaration. He may never have even verbalized it. But here's the danger. He began to say it in his heart. You might have could have even asked him, do you believe Jesus is coming? Oh, yeah, I believe Jesus is coming soon. But in his heart, he was telling himself, there's where the danger is. We've not changed our doctrine. We've not made a public confession. But we've been telling ourselves in our heart, well, oh, that's a dangerous thing. He said it in his heart. Isn't that the seed of all attitude? It's in the heart. And when he told himself, I don't believe my Lord's returning soon. When he told his heart that, he began to live differently. Watch what you tell your heart. Amen. Amen. Oh, it could be different. What if you said to yourself tomorrow morning when you got up, Jesus could come today. Amen. What if you say to your heart tomorrow throughout the day at work, maybe you're doing the household chores, maybe you're at school studying, maybe that'd be a good time for it right before that big exam. Oh, well, Jesus could come today. How many believes that'd be an attitude changer? Amen. Say to yourself, amen. You begin talking about something you shouldn't talk about, but then you remind yourself, Jesus could come today. Start watching something you shouldn't watch. Jesus could come. You're preaching ignorant. No, I'm not. I'm preaching, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And when we begin to talk wrong to our heart and say our Lord's not coming, we'll have an attitude change that is disastrous. Amen. Say those things. See if it doesn't change your attitude. On the other hand, if you say to yourself like this servant did, Jesus might not come back for another 100 years if he ever comes back, that'll change your attitude as well. Amen. When this servant had been expected, he did not have to be told to be busy. He did not have to be told do this or that. His expectancy drove him to be busy and do this and do that. Did you know when Christians are expecting Jesus to come, they don't have to be told they need to be faithful to the house of God. When they're expecting Jesus to come, they don't have to be told that they need to daily read their Bibles. Amen. When they have an expectancy Jesus coming, they don't have to be told they need to tarry in the altars till they hear. They don't have to be told anything, because that expectancy of his coming, that drives him, that motivates him, that helps him to see, because it's an attitude changer. Amen. Verse 45, one more thing and we're done. Not only did he say it in his heart, but he said the words, my Lord delayeth his coming. Notice, he's beginning to beat, ill-treat others. He's beginning to indulge his flesh, but he's still calling him my Lord. I said he's still calling him my Lord. I want you to know tonight, there's a lot of people that still call him my Lord, but they're not doing right. They're not living right. Amen. They're still calling him my Lord. But because he didn't expect him to return, he was still calling him my Lord, but he wasn't living like he was his Lord. I want to tell you, when I believe Jesus is coming soon, not only do I call him my Lord, I live like he's my Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. How many knows the only solution to our world's problems is the coming of Jesus. Hallelujah. I hate to disappoint you, but I don't care who the United States elects. It's not going to make a whole lot of difference. I'm not being negative. I'm just telling you, the problems are as such. No man's going to solve them. No party's going to solve them. Amen. There's only one solution to the world's problems, and that's the coming of Jesus Christ. Men, you've tried it your way. You've ruled your way. You've had your government. Now I'm going to set up my government. I want to tell you on a personal level, many of our problems will never be solved until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many knows that'll solve the problems more than that test you didn't study for? It's going to solve a whole lot of problems when Jesus comes again. Would you come, music? This servant that began to say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, had an attitude change. And it was disastrous to him because, Brother Bill, the Lord did come. And when he came, he meted out punishment to that servant. It didn't have to be that way. He let the lack of expectancy to change his attitude. And it ended disastrous. I want to tell you, there's one good thing about Jesus not having come yesterday. Did you know there's something good about Jesus not coming yesterday? That gives somebody that wasn't ready yesterday an opportunity to get right today. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord's not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. In my Sunday school class, some of the parents shared about a young lady this week, their daughter, and it just so encouraged me. I think we have young people like this. But faced with a decision, do I get involved with this, with those that are supposed to be believers, and yet their language isn't what it's supposed to be, and their lives, do I get involved with this? Or do I make a stand and say, I don't want to be involved with that, because I want to be right with God? And I don't know if the coming of the Lord ever crossed your mind, but I'm telling you, it's that kind of attitude, amen, that comes from knowing that the Lord's coming. But I was so proud when this young lady made the decision. I choose against that. I don't want to be involved in anything that's going to sully my heart and turn me from seeking God and knowing God. Oh, hallelujah. When I'm expecting the Lord to come, I have that kind of attitude. Oh, I want to live pure. I want to live right. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Oh, hallelujah. How many believes he's coming again? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We're servants tonight. That's who we are. We're servants. We're not going to leave here tonight saying, well, we've heard all that again, but our Lord's delaying. No, we're going to leave here saying, he didn't come 100 years ago, but he could come tonight. Hallelujah. He didn't come yesterday. He could come tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's already been quoted and sung. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. There's going to be folks alive when he comes. Isn't that what it said? The dead in Christ shall rise. We which are alive and remain shall be called. That means somebody's going to be alive when he comes. Oh, hallelujah. It could be this much. Hallelujah. I'm all about preaching this gospel. And did you know his return is as much a part of the gospel as his trip to the cross and his resurrection. It's part of it. Because he said it. I said, he said it. I will come again. Hallelujah. Has your Lord said he'd come again? I want the expectancy that keeps my attitude right. The moment I quit thinking he's coming, I'm going to have an attitude change. And an attitude change leads to an action change and a lifestyle change. I want to be ready. Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Just one appeal tonight. Now, if you're not saved this evening, you've got other needs, you just join in as we come. But just one appeal. I wonder if we couldn't fill these altars up. It's early still. Could we not fill these altars up and just say, oh, God, I want such an expectancy of your return that it changes everything about me, at my attitude, my outlook, my perspective, my actions. I want that kind of expectancy of the Lord's return. How many wants that kind of expectancy? And let me say one thing. I mean, you're great folks. I'm not, you know, this isn't a woodshed moment or anything, but let me tell you this. Amen. Sometimes we just got to remind ourselves when folks are still praying, if we want to chat with somebody, move to the back of the sanctuary out in the foyer, because we in no way want to hinder folks that are praying in the altar, okay? Okay. Amen. Let's come tonight if we want an expectancy for his return like we never had. Could you do it? Could you join me? Lord, I want that expectancy. I want that desire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'll change your attitude tonight. You get that expectancy, it'll change your attitude. Everybody find a place to pray. God, I want to believe you're coming soon. I never want to say to my heart, he's not coming. He's putting it off. He's delaying. I never want to say that. Jesus, that's it. Fill these altars. Oh, hallelujah.
For I want to be ready when my Lord calls me away. I'll be watching. I will watch and be ready.
Oh, I want to be ready. I want to.